Welcome to the Supply Chain Talks podcast, the podcast for shippers and forwarders about the latest developments in supply chain. My name is Sophie Fullen Inc., and in season two of this podcast, I will dive into the world of sustainable container supply chains. As decision makers, cargo owners, and freight forwarders play a key role in boosting sustainability in the logistics chain. But how do you build a CO2 neutral and at the same time resilient supply chain? And what are the possibilities and standout examples that exist today? I'm ready to explore these possibilities together with container industry experts. And today, for the first episode, we're joined by Matthijs van Doorn, Commercial Vice President at Port of Rotterdam. Good to see you here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Why does this topic matter to you? What do you do? What does your job entail?
Yeah, it matters to me because I believe that we have to build a better world. And we can do that, all of us individually. So apply solar panels at my house using green energy. But I'm at a fortunate position to have an even more impact here in the port. So I do see it as my duty to green the port, make it more sustainable, and with that, contribute a little bit to a better world. Mm. And maybe a bit more a humble note, I'm responsible for our customers here in the Port of Rotterdam. So about more than 3,000 companies that not only build the port, that are in the port, but that also send goods throughout the port.
Yes, so that's your job, of course. And through that job, you can help inspire people to work on big steps towards more sustainable solutions. And that Port of Rotterdam really wants to help facilitate and drive that change, right? Yeah. So that's what we're going to really dive into in this entire series. And this is just, we're just getting started here. So it's great to get a sense with you of, what's possible? What are the opportunities that you see here in the port that people can dive into? So the current position of the Port of Rotterdam, of course, is that you are in full transition towards a CO2 neutral port and logistics by 2050. Mm-hmm. That sounds very far away, but in reality, when you're talking about the scale of investments and the changes that you're making, actually, that's very soon, right?
Yeah, it's tomorrow, or maybe even it was yesterday.
Oh gosh!
So there's a quite a big urgency. The port consists of a chemical cluster or industrial cluster, I have to say. So we're one of the world's biggest petrochemical and industrial clusters. And that's very much fossil fuel dominated or fossil dominated. So that's where the transition kicks in order to make these goals becoming emission neutral or CO2 neutral by 2050 or preferably earlier.
Yes,
this whole industry needs to change. Not only my customers here in the port, but also the companies they deal with, the suppliers, the off-takers, their customers. So that's one of the challenges out there. The other part of a port is the logistics part. So imagine containers coming in from overseas, being handled here in the port and being transported towards, the Netherlands or further down into the hinterland of the port in Europe. And that's the other big part where also, we believe that we should deliver an emission neutral supply chain, basically.
Yeah.
So a port is a node in a supply chain. And I see it as our responsibility to not only change the port, but actually change the supply chains. And these are global, so quite ambitious, but we have to do it.
Yes. Because on the one hand, of course, a port really wants to facilitate the demands of its customers. So if the demand now is very much fossil fuel, then you want to provide that. At the same time, you also want to offer an alternative and want to help drive the change. So where's that ambition for the port?
Yeah. So we're here to facilitate our customers. We're also here to stimulate our customers in making a change. For that, we do invest in infrastructure. So that's our core responsibility. Where you're investing in new hydrogen pipelines in the port. We're investing into a carbon capture possibility, so pipelines to transport CO2 throughout the port and store it in empty gas fields. And we are lobbying heavily in the Netherlands, in Berlin, in Brussels, in order to make sure that this whole supply chain or new infrastructure is being built further down into Europe. Mm-hmm. So that's I think, our core role, to invest in that and to make it possible for our customers or to help them making a change. They have to make their own decisions, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and you want to just make it as easy as possible and take away any obstacles they might encounter towards their jobs to becoming more sustainable.
Yeah, correct. And I believe that it works that we put out a vision there. So we have a structured approach how to get through this transition as a port, which is built on building new infrastructure, attracting new raw material flows, attracting companies that will produce, for example, biofuels, and stimulating or facilitating the logistics sector to use electricity as a fuel or to use hydrogen as a fuel. And that's where we, as a port authority, play an incubator role.
Yeah.
So we bring companies together, we bring partners together, and where needed, we incubate or even invest into new ideas.
In the course of this series, we really get to know a few of these companies and really see how they do that to make it very inspirational to listen to and to see that it's actually already happening and that listeners can do it too. So you mentioned, of course, the fossil fuel. That's one segment, but a large part of the port of Rotterdam, of course, is the container segment as well, as you also mentioned. So how do you make that segment more sustainable?
Yeah, so there are a couple of ways that we do it. One is, of course, also there, the fuel side. So we are one of the biggest bunkering ports in the world after Singapore, which means that our customers' ships come in here and have their ships bunkered now by fossil fuels, but we attract companies that are producing biofuels, companies that are importing biofuels in order to make it possible for these ships to green their bunkers, so to say. And Rotterdam is the largest biofuel port, and we are very proud that the first bunkering of methanol has been done in the port recently. So we are a front runner. So working from seaside to the port means that on this, the second pillar is efficiency, basically. Mm-hmm. So when ships come in, or trains, or barges, or trucks, we have programs that are aimed on, let's say, efficient port calls. Mm-hmm. And just to give you an example, a ship that comes here with a just-in-time arrival can save about 14% of its carbon dioxide emissions,
which
is huge.
Yeah.
But in order to arrive just in time, have to make sure that the ship is on time, that the terminals are ready, that the tugboats are ready, the pilots are ready, et cetera.
Yeah.
So it's a big, logistical system.
Yeah, that involves a lot of data. In the course of this series, we're also going to be talking to Portbase that is trying to gather these data and make it work really in favor of more sustainable supply chains.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, correct. So data will facilitate efficient supply chains, basically.
Yeah.
And efficient supply chains are sustainable supply chains because they're we reduce the waste, basically.
Yeah. And that must be an interesting perspective also for customers, because then the knife really cuts both sides when it's an economically wise decision combined with a sustainable one. Then you're really being smart.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is more, let's say, the transport part of it. I'm very proud that also the customers in the port are making steps into this sustainability. So we have many of our warehouses are already equipped with solar panels. We have our terminals that use, emission free or at least emission less equipment, so that also the terminal handling gets to zero emission. And I believe that in these supply chains, we have to well, convert every single part. So the ship, the terminal, the inlet operation, the warehouse, and at the end, it will give shippers and forwarders the opportunity to operate the zero emission supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
And in my view, that's the USP for the Port of Rotterdam. And I truly hope that that USP will not be there for long, because it's important that the rest of the world copies us.
Yes, it shouldn't be you.
They should be sustainable too, because then we make an impact for a better world.
Yes.
But I definitely want to be the front runner, and we have a lot of projects out there where we can say, hey, it's not only talking about sustainability, it's been done by our customers and our partners, and a little bit by ourselves too.
Yes, definitely. And it's necessary to take these steps, not just because the world is in dire need of change the way it is right now, but actually freight transport is already 8% of global CO2 emissions, but the logistics sector actually continues to grow. So you want to really step up your game, because if nothing is done, the emissions will be 7% higher by 2030. So you're sort of in this time crunch and really in a rush to make this happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So we calculated for the container segment that in the next 10 years, there is an additional capacity need of about 16 million TUs, so containers. We handle currently around 14 million, and we're ready to accept another 8. Which we can do, and it's driven by Western European consumer demand. It's driven by population growth. But we also said we can deliver it, but we will only deliver it if it's been done sustainably. So that really puts the emphasis on, yes, growth will be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's our responsibility that trade flows will grow, but emissions will not.
Yes.
Because that additional 7% I don't want to have, that you just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
It's my objective to reduce it and
yes.
to make sure that we can prove that all these containers go through the port into Europe or out of Europe with a zero emission profile.
Right. Yeah, it's a very ambitious goal, because you're basically aiming for growth and reduction at the same time, which is sort of mind-boggling in a way.
Yeah, but it can be done. And just to give a couple of examples, the fuels at the seaside we talked about already. So we have a program in order to make sure that it's not only methanol that can be bunkered here, but also in future ammonia,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the possibilities to run ships on zero emission.
Mm-hmm.
We have a project where we work with inland barges to run them on hydrogen or even at electricity. So there are customers out there investing into that, converting their ships from fossil to something green. That's out there. We opened the first area for trucks to recharge electrical.
Mm-hmm.
So that's already out there. We're working with a company to provide a hydrogen trucking refueling station. So it is happening, which means that at the end we'll get there. And on a side note, we try to stimulate companies by accelerating their transition. And one of the nice examples there is an initiative called Zemba, where a couple of shippers joined forces and said, hey, we want to pay a premium for a green supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
And there the Port of Rotterdam said, okay, we chip into that too. We want to make sure that the premium is upped a little bit, so it's more attractive to really make a change as a shipper and to negotiate green transport instead of just the cheapest transport that you can get.
Yes, and that also taps into this sort of larger supply chain, because the port, of course, is only one link in this whole chain.
Yep.
How do you see your role in the entire chain? Of course, you already mentioned a little bit about the barges.
Yeah. So we see our role there as incubator, as a partner to work with our customers to help them in changing their way of working. So that's one. A second part is that we try to to lobby or to gather coalitions to really make this step up.
Yeah. And then when you talk about coalitions, that's always a bit of a complicated thing, because in large part, these players are also in competition with one another. Yeah. So how do you get them to cooperate?
Well, the challenge out there is so big that I think it's pretty clear that they have to do it together.
But that's a new way of thinking.
That's a new way of thinking. We put it in practice by our Green and Digital Corridor concept with Singapore. So we teamed up with the Port of Singapore, a couple of carriers transporting goods from Singapore here, a couple of producers of biofuels or the next sustainable fuels. And then we said we work out a concept, make sure that you can bunker green at both ends, both in Singapore and in Rotterdam, work with the carriers to transport it that way, and work on the digital side on, let's say, a seamless data flow so that it's full transparent, that everyone knows where the ships and the containers are. So that's how we try to put a coalition in there. And in this green and digital corridor concept, there are companies that are competing with each other. But they believe that we have to do something, we have to experiment, we have to make a first step in order to change the world.
Yeah.
So yes, competition is out there. But what we learned over the last years that, well, the world has changed enough to really work together instead of competing on this topic.
To sort of forge this change in thinking. Are there, so this is a great example to know as a freight forwarder that you can go from Singapore to Rotterdam within this green way, a corridor. But are there more inspirational examples of companies that are really sort of seeing the light?
I think to give an example, the container terminals in the port, Rotterdam World Gateway, APM Terminals, they put out the ambition to become carbon emission neutral by 2025. And they will achieve it. Mm-hmm. So for their own operations, they'll use green energy. They replace their equipment for zero emission equipment. They're the first ones to make sure that they will install shore power so that the ships that come into the port can use shore power in order to not have any emission.
Mm-hmm.
So not carbon dioxide, no nitrogen, but also no noise, for example, which is also important.
Yes, in the mass flux, then not so much.
It's emission, right?
Yeah,
so it's maybe not in the city, but still it's emission out there.
Right.
And mass flux is big. So if you have 13 of these ships buzzing, then you also hear it in Hoek van Holland. So that's also how you have to look at it. So I think these are inspirational examples.
Mm-hmm.
The other one on the inland part is Future Proof Shipping that made the investment to run a hydrogen barge, which runs from the port of Rotterdam to one of our customers in Alblasserdam, BZTN.
Mm-hmm.
They're building up a network and start using hydrogen barges. So that's also how they can offer their customers not only sustainable inland transport instead of road transport, but then also green inland transport.
Yeah.
So these are maybe small examples, but they're the first ones. And to me, they're very inspirational.
Yeah. And what about, because optimization cannot really go without digitization, are there inspirational examples when it comes to working more digitally in order to?
We started a port community system about 20 years ago where we said the mission is to turn paper into digital, which they did. So they helped the supply chain to really change to a digital supply chain.
Yeah, and they're working together with members, so in order to feed the system.
And it was very basic, really replacing paper for digital, so no more faxing of pieces of paper and that kind of stuff. Where they're today is that they use the data that the port community system has to offer to companies in order to make smart services, and these smart services are aimed on efficiency, reduction of emission, for example.
Yeah.
So that's the next step, and if you look a little bit ahead of that, then we're testing, validating a marketplace kind of setup, because we believe that there's a lot of innovation out there and many smart little companies that can make a huge impact. And we want to attract them to a marketplace where they can use the data supplied by the Port Community System or by just individual companies, make great services out of it.
Right. That really suits that sort of incubator function that you want to have. What about the modal shift?
Yeah. Well, modal shift is one of the one of our big objectives. A large part of the trucks stay in the port of Rotterdam, which is fine because they have to deliver their goods here. Mm-hmm. But we also know that the roads are congested in the Netherlands, so we can contribute that by shifting from trucks to rail or barge.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our ambitions and our targets out there. But I think more important is that when modal shift happens, goods will be bundled. Mm. So a barge can take 100 or maybe even 200 trucks at one time. So much more efficient, not only for road capacity, but also from an emission point of view.
Yeah.
So that's something that we'll keep on focusing on. We work with the inland terminals to see how they can change their concepts. So instead of sailing to the port, making 13 stops, over the last years, a couple of bundling concepts have been established, which means that in the hinterland, they group containers to a barge, completely stuff it, and then sail to one a stop in the port or two stops, delivering all these goods and sailing back. And with that, I believe that we maximize asset utilization, because if you do that, at the end, you don't have to produce much more trucks because they are not needed anymore.
Right. We'll dive deeper into this with Rico's episode. So that'll be very interesting to hear how exactly they do this.
Great.
So that's the modal shift. What about the fuel shift?
Yeah, so fuel shift is happening. So the methanol example.
Slowly.
It's slowly, but that's also because the capacity is not there. And what we see on fuels is that we have a lot of marine fuels. Sustainable aviation fuels are coming up. So also the airline industry needs to become more sustainable. And of course, replacing good old diesel, I would say, for trucks by something else. It needs time because a supply is not big enough now. That will definitely come, but it needs a couple of years. That's also why we talk about transition. You can't simply turn the switch today and then tomorrow we're in a new reality. That's not possible. But with our customers, we work on this fuel switch with the production side, but also with the users. So the carriers, the trucking companies, the inland barge companies.
Yeah.
And that's why the first experiments with hydrogen barges, methanol ships, hydrogen or electrical trucks are so important.
Yes. And the fuel switch also sounds a little bit as though we know exactly where we're headed. But of course, there are also a lot of unknowns. We know where we're coming from, but we don't know exactly where we're going.
I think that's the exciting part. You know, we're in a changing world. We know a lot, but we also don't know a lot. The way we take it is that we designed a couple of transition paths because we know that we have to literally try everything to end up with something.
Yes.
And what we see now is that the first step using biofuels has already been taken. Using LNG as a fuel has already been taken. We have a big terminal here that supplies it. Methanol, done. The first bunkering, so now we need to scale it. So ammonia is maybe the next big thing.
Yeah.
We're working on that with our customers and our partners.
Yeah, more on that with Hapag-Lloyd. We have so much coming up in this series. It's really exciting. So we talked about efficiency, of course, through using data, the modal shift, the fuel switch or fuel transition. And how does that help shippers and forwarders to make their chains more sustainable?
Yeah, so at the end, it will have an impact on their scope 3 emissions, so to say.
Yeah.
But I believe more important is that they can tell their customers, consumers, that they produce a sustainable product.
Yeah.
And which means that the product also needs to be shipped or transported sustainably. It needs that the raw materials have to become sustainable. So it can be circular. That's also something that our industry is working on. And I believe that that eventually is the core responsibility of these companies. Deliver something sustainable that's being used by consumers in whatever form. So apart from the scope 3, which is nice for the reporting, I think it's their duty. And we can help them with that by the transition that's happening here in the port.
Absolutely. Shippers and forwarders are working on minimizing their footprint to have good reports, but also because it's the right thing. And they're focusing on the concept of rethinking, reducing, and replacing the way they work their supply chain. Could you guide us through these three concepts? Because they're going to be helping us throughout this series to understand how to tackle this huge challenge.
Yeah, well, reducing is about literally reducing emissions, for example, by operating efficiently. I gave you the example of the port call, the just-in-time arrival. That means less emissions. So that's maybe the easier part to do. Replace is about the fuel switch. So from fossil fuels to biofuels, methanol, hydrogen.
Whatever feeds your system now, make something else feed it that is more sustainable.
Exactly, exactly. So fuels are needed, but let's change them into good fuels, so to say. And the third one is to rethink, to do it completely different. And one of the examples out there is the transport of reefer containers, which always has been done by truck because they need a power supply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they have a refrigerator inside them.
Exactly, they have a refrigerator. So on the container ship, they are plugged in, but they also need to be plugged in for hinterland transport. Well, on trucks, it's easy, but it wasn't there for barges and for rail. And there are a couple of innovations out there where small, let's say, power packs are being installed to rail wagons.
Mm-hmm.
So that also the reefer container can be put on rail in this case. Yeah. So that's the modal shift again. The other nice example is it's called ZES, zero emission shipping, where battery containers are being used at inland transport to fuel barges basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you have to replace these battery containers. So when they're empty, you need to dock a new one. And with that, a whole new supply chain is being set up. So we need to charge battery containers. We need to put them on the ship. We have to offload them again when they're empty, charge them again. And I think the nice part of this is that it will make barge transport sustainable because using green electricity, but also it's an opportunity for grid balancing.
Mm-hmm.
And with sun and wind coming in, there's quite an imbalance in electricity production.
Yes.
Well, these battery packs are away, just like at home your electrical car can be a part of your grid balancing.
Yeah.
These battery packs are grid balancing in the port and in the supply chains in the hinterland.
Yes. And that, I get how that would fit into the rethink realm of things, because that is such a different way of looking at things.
And I think the nice thing of this example is that a couple of years ago when we launched this idea, there was a lot of skepticism and maybe even criticism. But we teamed up with a shipper, we teamed up with a bank, we teamed up with engine producer and ourselves, and of course, logistical companies, and said, let's see how we can make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out there now.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we learn a lot. It costs a lot of money because it's really R&D, but we made a step forward that everyone thought that couldn't be possible.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud that we did it, because that's, I think, incubating in optima forma.
Yes. And it really helps inspire a change in others as well, because rethinking might be the scariest one of the three you mentioned. Reducing and replacing, I guess, are more straightforward than rethinking, because it sort of involves letting go of what you have and trying to conceive of something entirely new.
Absolutely.
But that's actually what's necessary because of the changes we're facing.
Yeah. And I think the cool thing is that we're in this together and we can make the impact.
Yes.
By trying, by investing, by rethinking.
Thank you so much. Talking to you makes me have a little bit of faith in us actually accomplishing this. And it's really inspirational. Thank you so much. The quote that you mentioned, try everything to change something, will really stay with me. I hope that as a listener, you feel excited to explore this whole series, because during these upcoming episodes, we will really dive into how the transport and logistics chain can be decarbonized, focusing on these three principles: reduce, replace, rethink. And joining us are leaders from supply chain companies really deeply involved in these efforts to help inspire you jump on board. Thank you so much, Matthijs, for joining me for this very first episode.
Pleasure.
And clarifying how the Port of Rotterdam is really building on a CO2 neutral container chain with all its chain parties and partners. In the next episode of Supply Chain Talks...
Yeah, we have a software where we upload all our supply chain data, so all our shipments, and that software is calculating your footprint. So yeah, you really need to get inside first before you can actually improve.
If you want to know more, check out portofrotterdam.com/containershipping. Thank you so much for joining in on this very first episode, and I'm looking forward to sharing way more with you. So please stay with us and tune in again.